Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Gosh, you sound great.
Thank you. So do you.
Oh, good.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. There's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment. What message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example. The underlying message in there is no hope for you. You can't even get a start on something you enjoy is how inadequate to my life I am. RL what you see. Reminder, never record any self-hating messages.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, this is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. Wow.
You sound great, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's just so great to hear you all, you and Ashwini. Well, okay. I was really surprised when the implied message kind of popped through, which said, you don't deserve to be successful at this because you're such a bad girl. It was just really ugly.
That sounds old, doesn't it?
It does, but I did not know. I knew that I wasn't surprised at the self-hating messages. Those were familiar. But then when that one came through, I was like, whoa, where did that come from?
Well, I happen to know you, and so I know you're a woman.
Yes.
Right? And so you're such a bad girl sounds like something that somebody would say to a five-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so where does that kind of stuff come from? Well, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I would bet for most of us, the self-hate gets more sophisticated as we get older.
Yes. Yes. Because I could see that. And I could see this, like, who's hearing that, and I looked at, so how we used to sometimes say it, like the person who's at the bottom of the well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like looked at that for a little bit and did some recording and then did a little two-handed recording, and it's like just that person at the bottom of the well really just wants to come out. She's in a really black world. She wants to come out and be in these spring green meadows full of beautiful flowers and just dance and play and take the chains off and just move and just be free.
Yes. And Tony, absolutely. And who wouldn't want to, right? Who wouldn't want to get out of that kind of dark place and into the beautiful spring? And I would say she really needs somebody to get between her and those hateful messages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that she can do that. Somebody to protect her and care for her. Because if she just was released into the meadow, that hatefulness would just be all over her. And drag her back into that dark place, right? And so it's up to you, and, of course, each one of us in our own life, it's up to you to be that unconditional love and acceptance that stands between her and those self-hating voices.
Yes. I can see that, and I will do that. I will make that a practice, and because I've had forays into doing that, and I do it every morning, actually, with my two-handed recording and listening. But then there might be, you know, some time goes by in, during the day.
That's right.
When I'm not as vigilantly protecting her.
That's right. That's right. And so the reassurance is, in this case, you're a good girl. You're mm-hmm. a good woman. You're a good person. You're a good human being.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I will do that. I'm going to do that.
I know you will. I trust you, Tony. I trust you to do that.
I will. I will.
All right.
Thank
because
you.
Because I know you love that green meadow and those flowers and the dancing that goes with that. And I also know you're going to draw them and paint them and all of those kinds of things. So there's a lot of good times for you folks to be having there.
Mm, oh, I love that, Sherry. I love that. Mm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
Thanks, Tony. You know, Sherry, as I was listening to that conversation, what dropped in is how much, it doesn't matter how old one is,
mm-hmm.
how one longs to hear those words.
Yes.
It and even
yes.
if there is a way in which we've worked really, you know, on a practice level to internalize that there's no doubt about it, just to have those said,
mm-hmm.
there's just a very human longing for it, and we can't say
mm-hmm.
it enough because
mm-hmm.
the contrary has been said to us so often.
Oh, and as Tony said indicates. You know, we don't always know those hateful messages are there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and all of the implications of that. And so the transformation for us, I think, is when we can remember to say, that was a good job. Or that was really kind. Or, I just love you. It's the not taking, it's the disidentification from the person, from the human being, right? Because it's not me, but as that unconditional love and acceptance, I can appreciate everything, including mm-hmm. the human being that I spend the most time with.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that drops in for me is that things survive difficult circumstances, but they flourish when the environment is a nurturing one, right? And
yes.
so much of how we're trained, how we're taught, how we're educated is through harshness and punishment, but no one actually takes the time to bring out the best in us
mm-hmm.
kindly. And we so respond mm-hmm. to that kindness. And so just to remember
yeah.
that even if the externals can't create that for you, there is a way in which we can create it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Ashwini, the proof of what you're saying is that I bet most of us can remember the people in our lives who did that for us.
Yeah.
Who with kindness and caring showed us a different way.
And showed us who we really are. You know, that's the
mm-hmm.
gift I remember of all those people who
mm-hmm.
recognized that that's what I would respond to.
Mm-hmm. Who saw you?
Yeah, who saw me, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Hi, this is Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, I have a question that I asked during the workshop on the weekend, and Jen gave a great answer, but when I hung up, I couldn't reconstruct the nuance. So I'm going to ask the question again, and maybe I'll get it the second time. It's related
Mark,
to the... To,
Mark,
yeah.
Mark, or, you know, these things are recorded.
Yes,
so
I didn't know
possible.
If it was up
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, I don't know either, but just a reminder for everybody that, you know, we can go back and listen to it, and probably most of us could be recording it on our own if we know we're gonna get on. So just a little
yes. That's
suggest.
A good idea.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So in the beginnings thing, when I was recording and listening, one of the things I saw was that I was kind of congratulating myself for how much more I can see now than when I first started practice and some of these self-congratulatory things. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, how is this any different than living in the past punishing myself? Now I'm living in the past congratulating myself. There has to be some positive way to say these things to myself without getting tangled up with ego. And I couldn't sort those two things out.
Yeah, and so the difference is kind of what we were just talking about with Tony. You are still believing that you are this person called Mark, which is an ego perspective. And what we're learning to do in awareness practice is step back from that, in your case, that human being called Mark, to step into, to disidentify and step into a place of compassion, of loving kindness, where you can see him without taking him personally, without falling into that ego trap of, I am him. So anytime people say, I beat myself up, I always stop them and correct them, right? You don't beat yourself up. Self-hate beats you up, right? And in the same way, if we are moving into that compassionate place, then it's possible to see Mark the way it would be possible to see any other human being. And what you can see then is his inherent goodness. And so you can respond in from that unconditionally loving place. You can let him know that you see his goodness. You can support him in the things that he's doing to wake up and in the suffering to disidentify from ego. You know, you can say, yeah, it was great. That was a good job. Because you're pointing him away from what is ego and toward what is the unconditional. Because that's where you are in that disidentified place.
Mm-hmm. It is difficult for me to hear the difference on a recording. I mean, I intellectually understand everything you're saying, but when I listen back to it
so
on a recording,
far,
and I guess that okay.
So far, Mark. So far. Because as we practice, and again, that's how ego is so successful, because it'll say, I don't get this. This recording, I can't tell. How do I know what that, you know, this isn't working. But if we stay with it, we will hear it. In the same way that you can hear in other people who is coming from what feels like a sincere or authentic place to you and who feels they're manipulating, and you can hear it, right?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's the skill that you apply to hearing what goes on with Mark.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. Sherry, what was dropping in about that is it really is, it's often what we say with the two-handed recording exercise, but we are practicing movements in practice. You know, the movement into a particular process, which has its own quality and texture and tonality, because we're going to an experience of that process, and as we train to be in that experience, we can tell when we are in it and when we're not.
Yes, which is why the instruction includes, when you put it in the left hand, the two-handed recording, listen to that person talking the way you would listen to anyone else, somebody that you love unconditionally.
Yeah,
that's the movement into not taking that person personally, right? We want to step back and see that the goodness, the innocence of that human being.
Well, and what Mark was pointing to is when we hear the dissonance and we're not experiencing it, we haven't made the movement.
Yes, right. Yeah. So we keep trying. We keep doing it.
Yeah, and the intelligence is saying, well, this you need to shift more. You need to disidentify more in order to be able to see goodness through goodness, right?
Yeah. You're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So you will be. We will be if we keep going.
It's wonderful. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello,
this is Jamie in Newark, Delaware.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh, good, I'm getting through. It's good to hear your voices. This is the clearest broadcast in a few days, which is great.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just, you just have to keep at it until...
That's right, Jamie. That's what we were just saying with Mark, right? The struggles we've had with technology are a perfect demonstration. We just have to keep at it. We just have to keep showing up. Yep. Great.
Right. Exactly. And when I started this year's retreat, I started looking at how I avoid dealing with things, how I use my time in ways to avoid things. And for instance, watching television for a lot of time, or listening to music on the computer, just one song after the other. It's okay, I think, to sometimes watch television, and that may be debatable, but... And I think listening to music's fine, but when I use them as a way to not focus on what I might do.
Yep, there you go. That's it exactly, Jamie. There's nothing wrong inherently with anything. It's how it gets used against a person. How ego uses it to distract us, and as you say, to just take you out of the moment that you're living in. So
right.
It's possible for us to be completely present as we're watching television, or completely
correct.
Present as we're listening to music, right? But what
right.
you're catching on to is how what those things that we enjoy start being used against us.
Right. And one question that comes up that I think I can apply almost any time is, what's the next best thing to do? Is the next best thing to meditate, or to do clean the house, or is it to sit on the couch for an hour and watch television? And usually the answer is not. Yeah?
Well, one of the things that we insert there, because something called you to attention.
Right.
Right? Yeah? And so what people have been talking about lately is, so you just stop right then and you say, okay, what now? And then you wait. You wait to hear the guidance.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, and I think part of the reason I avoid things is it seems easier in some ways, and it sort of turns off some of the negative messages partially for a while, because I'm sort of numbing my mind, but it doesn't get me anywhere.
No, and so I'm going to suggest, Jamie, and because this goes with all of this, right? I'm going to suggest it's how ego controls you.
Right.
It makes you do what it tells you to do rather than you getting to be present in your life.
Right. And now, when I get out and it involves other people, the other thing I have to deal with sometimes is fear, because I don't seem to have fear if it's just at home, but when I get out with other people. But it's not overwhelming, and I've learned that I can act despite a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety, or I can act anyway, and then the fear has less control. That's another way.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course... this is a good time for us to practice this, right? Because we're not actually going too many places, and there aren't all that many people involved in our lives at this juncture, right? Especially where you're living. And so practicing this at home just makes it that much clearer for you. So when we are again, and we hope at some point we are again at a place where we can interact with other people, you'll have a solid foundation to bring to that.
Right. And, you know, as far as today's assignment and, you know, the negative messages, I just need to not listen to them and take one step at a time and just, what next?
Yeah, Or as we like to say it, what now?
Right, what now?
Is not now. And we want to get right here in now. What now?
Right.
All right, what now, life? What now?
Yeah, I have something to focus on.
Yep.
I'm going to keep asking
that
question.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
There
you
go.
Bye.
You too. Take care of yourself. Bye. Glad you're well.
I am. Thank you. And you too. I'm glad you're well. Yeah. Bye. All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. Sherry, that it's something we were looking at in the Transcending Resistance book about the boundary of fear. Right? Ego is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the sensations intensify as we move towards something as a way to keep us from crossing the line, right? Crossing the control line of ego. That's how we're controlled. And that just to take that on as a practice, to stare it down, right? That pause you're talking about, wait, and just wait. And we'd find we can ride the sensation to then move towards what it is that life is moving us towards.
That very possibly the sensation of ego control, we begin to see that is actually a reaction to life's guidance, which we might have missed.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me, guys?
Yep, who's this?
This is Becky from Pittsburgh.
Hello, Becky.
Hello, guys. Hello, Sherry and Ashwini.
What are you seeing about beginnings?
Well, I just have this one point about what I go through when I'm, you know, being beaten, which is like, I don't know, 20 hours a day. But here's the thing is I have proof. I have proof that all these things happened and then I did a terrible job and it was a really bad decision and why did I do that? And, you know, I mean, these things all really, really happened. So,
okay, Becky, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Did that happen have an ED on the end? Are you talking about the past?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay.
I can
well,
go
then
back 70 years.
No. I have good news for you. news for you, okay? That is all hogwash. That is all hogwash. It is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, creating a narrative that does not support the human being but supports ego, and then telling that story over and over and over until the person thoroughly believes it and is completely beaten down. So would you like an assignment?
I would like an assignment.
All right, so here's your assignment. I want you to recall all of the things that you do that are not in that negative camp.
Okay,
now again, that's right. And so, and I have insider information, okay?
Okay?
So it's how you are with your husband, how you are with your children, how you are with your sisters, the rest of your family, how you are with employees, how you are, okay? You are, not what you have supposedly done in the past. That's the information that I would like for you to focus on.
Okay. That does sound great. It really does.
And it'll be hard. It'll be hard, Becky. It'll be hard. But what you'll get to see is how desperate ego is to make you feel bad.
True.
And over time, you will begin to question, why would I want to give all my attention to something that only has as its goal making me feel bad?
Okay.
And you're going to conclude, because you're a smart woman, you're going to conclude that, well, that just doesn't make sense. And so let me give you another little piece of it, because it's going to come after you like gangbusters, okay?
Okay.
I want you to think, now, the way it talks to you, the way that voice in your head talks to you, do you want that to your children, to have a voice like that talking to them? Do you want your beloved husband to have a voice in his head talking to him like that? And you're going to answer, of course not, to those questions. And so then the next one is, then why this human being? And the answer is not because she has done so many things wrong in the past.
Okay. Right.
With me?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. It's
okay.
Kind of like the dark room and light room. And I used to feel the difference, but I've been in the dark room for a while now. So, yes, I will take that.
If you do this assignment, that's right. If you do this assignment, the window coverings are going to open up in that dark room, and soon you'll be able to see the doorway out, and you'll open that door and step out into one of those meadows that Tony described. Okay? Now, it might not be this afternoon, all right? But if you keep practicing that way, it's going to happen.
Okay.
And you'll let me know, won't you? All right.
I certainly will. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Thanks, Becky. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Becky. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Caller, you are
now like we're in a time warp.
I know. Live on the air, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina.
Hi,
what
I'm so
think?
Happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, and I'm happy to be here, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy to be experiencing this beginning, right, and to be available
mm-hmm.
for it.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what are you seeing?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know I have to be quick, and I don't really
no.
know.
Clear more than quick, Christina. Clear more
yeah,
than quick.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Just that I have a choice in every moment, and that I can choose to approach life from a conditioned perspective, a know-it-all perspective, or a perspective that is trying to scare me, or I
mm-hmm.
can choose to just be here and recognize that each moment is a new beginning, and
mm-hmm.
that from here, there's so much available. And this morning I was presented with an option, and it was so clear to me that right away life presented, look here, like this is what you need to look at. And then immediately right after that was all of the conditioned responses of, but what if it says this when you go there, or what about that, or how about this, and da 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 da. And it's just, it's so stark right now, the difference between those two places. And so
mm-hmm.
even though there is so much pain and suffering taking place right now, you know, externally, internally, the whole shebang,
mm-hmm.
it's also putting really into perspective that choice on a moment-to-my-moment basis, and that nothing's trivial. Like, you know, I'm constantly hearing a voice like, why are you paying attention to that? That's so trivial, you know, given what's going on right now. And reminded that actually, no, you know, all of these decisions, everything life is presenting and every way that it's unfolding matters immensely. And how I am in that moment matters immensely. So,
yes.
Deep gratitude, yes, so, because you taught me
this. Well, there are a couple of things about that, Christina. First of all, you're there to see the impulse from life. And that, and because of that, you're able to see the reaction from ego,
yeah,
which is huge, right? Second, you know this expression that we have there, that I have, that we really can't trust that old bumbler God with things that are really important, right? So now we're in a crisis, and we really need to look to ego to get us through this, to help us survive this.
Yeah.
Right, and so what you're saying that is critical for all of us is no. Actually, what we need to do is double down on presence. As you say, there is nothing that isn't important, which, as we're fond of pointing out, is always the case. It's just that for most of us, it's been such that we don't really have to pay attention because we can just kind of we can bumble along and somehow make it, right? But now we realize how high the stakes are, and actually we want to look to life to get us through this, not ego.
And I have one more thing to ask about that, and that is last week, really the last maybe 15 days or so, I mean, I fell pretty deep. Like, I really was in a dark place because I was, you know, I just fell into those ego places. In fact, I tried to get on a couple times last week, and there was a part of me that's like, you don't want to talk right now. Please don't unmute. Although I think it would have been very healthy for me to do
it would have been the perfect time, right?
Yeah.
Because, of course, I would have held up a mirror that said, that's not you, Christina. That's not you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, but what dawned on me at some point in that darkness was, it really is just a breath away, that the hope and the and presence. I don't have to say anything other than it's just the presence. It's the here. It's it's just in the next breath. It's not someplace else.
That's right. It's just in fact, it's just this breath.
Yeah.
Right?
There
it's
you go.
Just this breath.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I want to underline from what you said, that is, again, it's always really important, but it doesn't seem to matter in times that we can't all perceive as high stakes, right? And that is how ego is constantly trying to get us distracted into solving problems we don't have. Okay? So something occurs to you, something drops in, and then ego starts, what will you do if that doesn't, how are you going to, okay? And so I just want everybody to watch that process, because that's how conditioning takes us out into its imaginary world. And if we just stay with the breath that's in our lungs right now, we realize none of that exists. None of that exists. And if a moment arises when some of that is valid, then if we're there for it, we'll know how to respond.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Because that's exactly where I was last week. I was with that voice. You know, I was with that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You
got to do this. What this? Yeah.
Yeah. Not solving problems we don't have. That when we all come through this, let's take that wisdom with us, okay? Because that it will serve us well.
Yeah.
All right. Great to hear your voice, Christina. Thank
Likewise.
You.
Likewise. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Christina. Christina, if you would mute yourself, since I can't find you in this last moment. Oh, there you are.
Oh, no, we've already lost her.
Well, that brings us to the end of a fabulous show, Sherry, and here is our assignment. The self-hating message is that as we are not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment, what does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see.
All right. Very good. Very helpful.
Thanks,
all right. Sherry. Well, thank you, Ashwini. What a pleasure. What a pleasure to be able to hear everybody. I hope that that was everyone's experience, because what a joy. Talk about something we can often take for granted, and then when it's missing for a while, golly, do we realize how wonderful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to everybody. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.